in Christ Jesus, our ascended Lord and King, dear fellow redeemed. This past Tuesday night at our Hands Up in Hands, we mentioned that as the people go driving down this highway here, and they see our church sign which says Ascension Worship, Tuesday, May 17th, 7 p.m., I wonder how many of them wonder, what in the world is that? What's an ascension service? Is that a hot air balloon ride? Today is probably, undoubtedly, the least known holiday of the church year. The Ascension is probably the one holiday and festival of Christians that has remained untarnished by worldly celebrations. And rightfully so. For the Ascension points us heavenward, away from this earth, away from this material land and world of ours, away from the sphere that we call home, to our real home, our heavenly home, that awaits all of us who've been led to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus, the Lord and Savior, all of us who live in Christ. Therefore, even as the majority of the world passes by this day, not even knowing what it's all about, this evening we have the blessed opportunity and the privilege to celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior. This evening, some almost 2,000 years since our Savior ascended to heaven, we are assured and we have the confidence that heaven is our home. There are many truths that can be taught concerning this lesson on the ascension of our Lord and Savior. This evening we'll be enumerating some of them, but not in one long continuous sermon. We're going to be breaking up our sermon into three smaller parts with some ascension hymns interspersed. Our theme this evening is entitled, Jesus' Ascension Means. And our first part is, Jesus' Ascension Means, I Too Shall Ascend. As you get out your bulletins, let's read together the first two texts for the first portion, I Too Shall Ascend. This is John 14, 1 through 6, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Look to your heavenly home. That's what we've been doing these last few weeks since Easter with our sermons based on the book of Revelation. We've been looking at a resurrected Savior as a lamb the shepherd, the bridegroom, and that heavenly Jerusalem is being prepared for us. And that's so important for us to do continuously. Why? Well, because how often do we get bogged down by the tragedies as well as the triumphs in our life? How often aren't we weighed down by the trials and temptations that come upon us? How often don't the struggles that we face, as well as the satisfaction that we enjoy as human beings, take up so much of our time and our living so that we forget that the home we're living for is far, far different than the one that we see and live in every day? In fact, sometimes if we honestly look at ourselves, we don't live much different than the worldly people. Maybe without the immorality. But sometimes we have the same worldly anxieties, worldly worries, worldly cares, worldly concerns for the here and the now. We can go day after day after day being so busy with the pressures and activities of this life that we forget why we're really put on this earth. We forget what our real goal is. It's not to live for self. It's not to gather as much as you can before you die. It's to live for Jesus and others. It's to serve as Jesus served us. It's to get that word of God out, the gospel of salvation, to others. And then to look forward to someday going to a heavenly home. A Christian should be filled with thoughts of heaven on a daily basis. For that's the reason why he or she has been placed on this earth and created by God. We're all born and then reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, made a child of God, heirs of Christ's kingdom, to someday live forever in his kingdom in paradise. The end and aim of every single child of God is not earthly riches, fame, happiness, health, or even a long life. The end and aim of every single child of God are the eternal riches of joy and peace and glory and perfect happiness and everlasting life. And so this evening's Ascension service, let us take the time for us to all think about the end of our lives as a believer in Christ. To all focus our eyes to look to our heavenly home. And even though we don't deserve eternal life because of our many, many sins, yet every single one of us has that blessed assurance and confidence that heaven is ours. From our first two texts that we just read, we can proclaim to all the world that because our Jesus ascended to heaven, I too shall ascend. Our home and our ascension to that home is assured. Jesus tells us that. He's going to prepare a place for us. And since he's gone, he says, I will come again to take you to be in that place. It's assured because it's been promised to us by our ever-faithful Lord and Savior. Jesus, by his coming into this earth and taking our place as a human being, living under the law and keeping it perfectly for us, being the sacrificial payment for all of our sins, rising from the dead, and then ascending to heaven, has assured us of this great fact. The marvelous ascension truth we can all say this evening. I will ascend with my Lord because he has promised me I will come again and receive you to himself, myself, that where I am, there you will be also. A second glorious truth that comes from our Savior's ascension is this: Jesus rules heaven and earth. Let's join together in reading our text, our second text there, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Begins in the middle of a sentence there. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul tells us Christ fills all things. Christ is at the right hand of God, which means now he has all authority. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. He rules over all things. Again, Paul wrote, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And Jesus says the God-man, glorified and exalted, is not sitting at this little place, in this little spot in heaven at the right hand of God, because God has no right hand as a spirit, but means he now rules over all things, controls all things, is present everywhere, and fills all things. Yes, Jesus is a king that we can't see with our own eyes, but he's a king who rules us all the same. He rules us with his all-powerful word of love. And that word of love assures us and gives us this promise in Romans 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For our Lord and King in heaven rules all things on this earth, all things on this earth, always for the eternal well-being of his church, which is his body, all believers. What tremendous joy and confidence that gives to us wearied and worried people. What great assurance that gives to us unhappy and so often complaining people. And what great trust that gives to us redeemed sinners. The Lord Jesus is in control, not just of some things, but of all things. The Lord Jesus is in control, not Satan, not chance happenings, not luck, not fate. Jesus conquered sin, death, Satan, hell. He's earned forgiveness for all of us. He's destroyed death's power over us. He's destroyed Satan's power over us. And through the power of the Word, he gives us the ability to stand in the face of Satan's onslaughts and his temptations, because our future is assured. All you got to do is look at your past and see that that's true. And the Scripture says, your future will be the same. God's promises to us is that if you're looking for security, real security, look to Jesus Christ. Not just for a lifetime of security, but for eternal security. Jesus will never let us down. He rules heaven and earth. And the third glorious truth I'd like to talk about this evening of our Savior's ascension is that our Savior now, as our high priest, intercedes for us. Let's read the last three texts, two found on the inside back page and one on the back page. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And finally, Hebrews 9:11-15 and 24-28. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. You know, one might think that after Jesus removed himself, his presence from this earth, and the disciples couldn't see anymore, they would have been filled with grief and great sadness. Look how they reacted when Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb. When they finally realized he was alive, they were so excited, and they saw him for 40 more days. And now suddenly he's gone again. No longer visibly with them, no longer physically with them, no longer able to speak to them and give them comfort or guidance or counsel or forgive them. But instead of grieving and dismaying, we're told they were filled with joy. Our first scripture reading from Acts 1 said, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. With great joy they remained in the temple praising God while they awaited the promise that the Lord had said they would give to him, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we too should be filled with such great joy on this Ascension evening. Christ our Lord and Savior, who loves us so much that he died for us, is not only our King who rules in heaven and earth, who is able to thwart every evil plan against his will and his purposes and his plans, he's also our high priest who intercedes for us. Our text tells us that he has entered into the most holy of holies, heaven itself. And there, on the altar before his Father, he laid his body and blood as the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. The eternal sacrifice. Once and for all sacrifice. To pay for the guilt and the punishment of every single person in this world. A sacrifice for all time. A sacrifice for all people. And the greatest thing is, he's also still there. He's still there before his Heavenly Father, interceding for us, mediating for us, carrying our prayers, our praises, our thanksgivings, our intercessions, our repentance, our petitions to our Heavenly Father's throne. He's our caring, our loving, our sharing High Priest who bears our burdens, knows all of our sorrows, our fears, takes care of us, gets us through our trials and temptations, sees us through all of our illnesses, and finally carries us through the valley of death into our heavenly home. He's by our side. He sees us through the moments of despair, times of gloom and sadness, temptations, trials. In every time, in every place, in every moment, Jesus is our ascended King who rules over everything. He's also our great High Priest who constantly mediates for us, intercedes for us, and cries out for us. What a blessed ascension truth that is. Amen.